Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Cheryl Guidry, your host of Health is Wealth, a show that delves into all things women's health with lively yet informative conversation with other health and wellness guests to share the scoop on the latest healthcare trends, giving you actionable tips that empower you to take an action role in your health. Today, we're going to focus on emotional health. My guest, Lika Slaughter, the founder of Speaking to the Heart of the Hurting, a community-based organization that nurtures interpersonal skills and provides overall support for organizations that work with youth, individuals, and families. Thank you so much for being my guest today, Lika. Tell our guests how you became a part of this or built this organization.
Thank you, Queen Cheryl, for having me. Grateful for the opportunity. I started Speaking to the Heart of the Hurting years ago just through different experiences that I encountered. At 5 years old, I experienced trauma. And then, you know, I became a teen mom at 17 and just had different adversities. And oftentimes, individuals would ask me to do speaking engagements. So when I would do the speaking engagement, seeing the impact that it gave them, it pushed me to want to go even further. And even, as I said, being a teen mom, I wanted more for my child. So it was something that I embraced and just continued.
Wow. Okay. And so, how long have you been doing how long did you build your company?
Since 1999. It started as a passion project, you know, just doing it because it was a passion that I have. So it started in 99.
Okay. And now you work with all types of organizations, I understand, like schools and churches, and also families and individuals. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And can you tell us what type of family issues you typically work with?
Yes. Oftentimes, I work with individuals that was just like myself. You know, I struggled, as I said. I experienced trauma, just different things, not always knowing how to communicate. Oftentimes, muting my voice, and that's who I work with, those individuals that struggle. Sometimes you have the parents where they're hearing two different languages. You know, the child is saying one thing, the parent is saying something, but neither one are hearing each other. So I'm talking to individuals that's trying to communicate better, trying to listen to one another, hear what each other said, and give them a reflective response. Oftentimes there may be organizations that have schools where the students may be acting out. And a lot of times people may see the child as being bad. They're not bad, but they need somebody to hear them, somebody to be able to give them to. So that's when they will call us in, and just a healing. You know, a lot of times it's just a struggle and a healing because I often do this activity called What's in My Suitcase. We're carrying luggage. We're carrying luggage from childhood. You know, just imagine being on an airplane, you know, you took your shower, you have all of these great clothes, people are seeing you in the airport, but they don't know what's in that suitcase. And that suitcase is our bag. Is that hurt? Is that pain? Is that anger? Is that resentment? It's a lot of things that we travel with. We travel with it from kindergarten on to, you know, our teen years and on up. So they'll bring me in to be able to help and to be a voice and to be able to create toolkits for families, individuals in those organizations to be able to nurture their interpersonal skills and overall well-being. I hope I answered the question.
You did. Wow. That, we really need that. You know, ever since COVID a couple of years ago, I have quite a few colleagues that are, you know, still dealing with children who are trying to get, you know, back into the swing, and families that are trying to communicate well with the kids now that they're back in the schools. And there's a lot of parent-child communication issues that are happening. So I could see where that would be a great asset to the school district. Now, you said you also work with, like, conflict resolution, like in, you know, like in other organizations, maybe like in the workplace?
Yes. So even with staff, you know, let's be real, a lot of times when they're working with children, they pay attention to what they see the adults do. So if they see the adults being chaotic, and even in the workplace, you know, a lot of times people, it's not what a person say, but how they respond. So being able to give those tools of, what did you really hear that person just say?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that you can ask that person? You know, even what, how can you explain to that person how you feel? For instance, I'm also an educator, so we have a situation where an adult may not come off the right way to another adult, and they're doing that in front of a child. Children, they pick up things, and they mimic things. So giving them tools and strategies of how to talk to each other, and even how to nurture the relationship with children, how to nurture the relationship with parents, and just, you know, everybody within the building to create that support that's needed.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that's very important for sure. Because a lot of times, even in the workplace, you know, like you said, there has to be some, you have to be more constructive as far as when you're dealing with different personalities, different cultures, and you're trying to blend them into a workplace setting. Interpersonal communication is definitely something that has to be a priority. Now, how do you, what are some of the tools that you use to help them improve their communication skills?
Some of them is just that reflective listening. But, you know, just say I had a client where a lot of times they'll just say, this is what they're doing. They're always doing this and this and that. Is there anything that has taken place recently? A lot of times they have to just start to acknowledge, what was it that took place? Sometimes it could be grief. It could be a move. It could be, you know, a loss of a pet. It could be being bullied. It could be so many different things. So just allowing them to be able to acknowledge what it is that's going on and to be able to create a safe space where everybody is heard, everybody is valued, and being able to talk to one another. So just say if it's a parent and a child, when your child talks to you, listen to what it is that they're saying. So when that child talks, that parent is saying, what I heard you say was, and asking that child, is that what you said? Because a lot of times children will say, they don't care about me. They never listen to me. And then parents are able to really sit there, not say anything, not saying they don't want to say anything, but they're able to be able to talk to the child and to be able to hear what the child said and to be able to respond. And there's times where they may not have an answer for the child, but they'll say, let's talk about it. And they're letting them know, I heard you. And it's the same thing for the child. And that's another thing. We don't want just the parent, the child to be heard, but we also want the parents to be heard, because there's times where a child may be being disrespectful to the parent. And that parent, that child needs to know they need to listen to the parent. And even just listening to adults in authority when they're in the school, sometimes children, they shut down if they feel that adult does not care about them, and vice versa. Sometimes you may have adults feeling like, well, since they acted up on yesterday, I'm going to hold that against them. Or they'll go and talk to another teacher. So it's just creating the dynamics for everybody to be able to listen to each other and everybody mm-hmm. to hear each other. We also do, you know, those restorative circles. We do journaling. So we just mm-hmm. have those different toolkits and even role-playing. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. I could tell you all day, create the peace that you desire to see. But mm-hmm. if you never had peace, how can you create it? So mm. let me show you. And let, you know, let us show you the right way. Was that the correct way to do things? Or was that the wrong? So it's allowing them to be a part of the process, not just saying, do this, or not just giving them a card or giving them a journal, but allowing them to be a part of what's being taught.
Oh, that's
a question.
Okay. This sounds like I have more questions, but I'm going to stop right here, and we're going to take a few minutes just to recognize one of our sponsors and partners. Women Lead
okay.
Radio is brought to you today by Connected Women of Influence and our partner, Microsoft. The Microsoft mission is to empower every person and organization on the planet to achieve more. Microsoft believes technology is a powerful force for good and are working to foster a sustainable future where everyone has access to the benefits and opportunities created by technology. Microsoft believes technology can and should be a powerful force for good, and that meaningful innovation can and will contribute to a brighter world in big and small ways. Thank you for your support, Microsoft, and to all of our sponsors and partners. Now back to our discussion with Lika Slaughter, the founder of Speaking to the Heart of the Hurting, as we discuss how she works with organizations such as schools, nonprofits, families, individuals, and churches to build a strong interpersonal communication skill in the community. So, Lika, we were talking about some of the tools that you use when helping children and their parents in the school system. What about when you talk about children? I thought about bullying, because you mentioned bullying. How do you teach someone to assert themselves and communicate boundaries where they can resist the negative influences from other students? Because we've had a lot of school shootings, and that's becoming more prominent in the schools, it seems like. How do we get past that? How do we help the students to be or assert themselves better, but to be able to go to proper authorities when they see things that are should not be going on in the school?
I actually worked with some students on that one yesterday. It was a student that was being bullied, and they were having a meltdown. And I said, we're going to have a conversation. I talked with them. I, you know, just encouraged them and told them to go in the mirror, and I want you to speak to yourself, I am beautiful. But when I had mentioned the restorative circles, you know, the circles and the journaling, one of the things I do is, what is something that you have experienced or know someone experienced? And I'll write it on a board. And I, like I said, I do this activity, what's in your suitcase? And the S is the self-sabotage. The U is uncomfortable. The I is insecurity. The T is trauma. The C is chaos. A is anger. S is self-doubt. And E is envy. And those are those things that we carry in our suitcase. So when we're being bullied and we're inside the classroom and our friends are talking about us and giggling at us, let's get in this circle. And we begin to talk. I begin to write on the board, and everybody was able to hold the talk in peace and just be able to express themselves. And that child was able to express to them, I feel, how do you feel when they're doing this to you? I feel hurt when you say this to me. Can you please not do that again? And it's allowing the other students or even adults to find out they don't like what I'm saying. It's not me saying, you're always bullying me, but I feel hurt when you talk down on me, when you laugh at me. Can you please not do that? And it'll allow whoever is doing it to apologize and say, I apologize for saying whatever it is saying to you. So it's allowing them to be able to say what they're saying, but to also give them those tools to let them know when a person is bullying you, they're not being nice, and also asking them, why do you feel some people are bullied? You know, why do you feel some people bully? And I even talk to the bullies, you know, why is it that you bully? And they begin to say, because other people bullied me, or because this is what I think. Sometimes that's all they see. Sometimes mm-hmm. they see adults bullying them, and they think it's okay, and sometimes they do it for attention. There's so many different things, but speaking mm-hmm. to it and telling mm-hmm. them it's okay to tell, because what has happened, like you said, especially since COVID, I often talk about that unmuting your voice. That was something I had to do, is unmute mm-hmm. my voice. I was bullied as a child. I had family mm-hmm. members that was bullied, and I didn't understand it. And I told the person that bullied me when I became an adult, and they didn't mm-hmm. even remember it. But it's like allowing them to know it's not okay for anybody to touch you, hurt you, say anything mean, and it's okay for you to tell. Tell a teacher, mm-hmm. and sometimes students may tell a teacher, but it's also important for parents, when your child is saying somebody is bullying me, to listen. And yeah. a lot of times parents may say, well, go, if I was you, I would go beat them up. We got to give them the tools, those proper steps, because a lot of times children, when they're bullied, they're taking their lives because that they tried to speak up, but nobody mm-hmm. listened. And it's important mm-hmm. for parents, adults, aunties, grandpa, anybody, a principal, the administration, church, when you hear it, make sure you help the children with the tools. I hope I answered your question.
You did. You did. And that's so important, because peer pressure is very big, you know, in the school system and with children. And so it's good that you teach them how to voice what they're feeling in a group setting. And so that those that bully, you know, understand the ramifications of what they're doing, you know, so I think that's great. Now I want to switch to, you know, now you said organizations in the workplace. Can you tell me how you help in the workplace more?
For those that work with families and children, so it's pretty much the same thing, mm-hmm. allowing them to explain what their frustrations are. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, they just like the children struggle with talking to one another and talking to authority, adults do the same. They struggle mm-hmm. with talking to children. They also struggle with talking to themselves. So even embracing that self-care, that self-love for self, a lot of mm-hmm. times they pour into everyone else, but they're not pouring into themselves. So it's not just giving them tools on communicating and, you know, yes, giving them tools and nurturing those skills, but also nurturing skills for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
of how to be better people, even some of them are parents, how to be better parents, how to be better aunties. And another thing I didn't get to mention was also giving the children affirmations, but adults affirmations. In the workplace, all adults don't speak life to themselves. They're sitting here in these positions as administrators, as principals, as leaders, but they're not speaking positive to themselves. You know, but they want other people to listen to them. And what ends up happening is they end up bleeding. We often can bleed on others if we're bleeding, if we're not healed, if we're not poured into. So when going into the workplace, trying to lead a team that's covering children, because sometimes leaders can yell at their staff, and they're yelling at their staff in front of children, in front of families, in front of, you know, individuals that's coming in, and it's not a good reflection. But you mm-hmm. want them to meet the quota or do whatever it is that you request of them, but you're not treating them right. So it's really starting at the top so they can be able to get themselves together, get themselves healed, get themselves poured into, so they can mm-hmm. be able to pour into their staff and pour into everyone else that they're connected to. I hope that answered your question.
It did. So how do the organizations reach out to you normally?
It could be email or call, and they can also click the discovery call link to schedule a meeting.
Oh, okay. So you kind of assess the situation before you go in.
Yes, because every situation is different, so it has to be mm-hmm. like an intake or a needs assessment. because mm-hmm. everybody's situation is different. One, for instance, we worked with some schools. Some just needed communication, where others needed bound. So every situation is different. It just depends on what it is, that what type of support that they need.
Okay. Now, for, like, individuals, do they mm-hmm. go through the same assessment process, too? They make up the discovery call, and then you go through some form of assessment with them individually?
Yes. Yes.
To see what it is that they're needing. Okay.
Yes.
All right. And you also do, like, group? Do you do, like, groups and group
yes.
settings?
Group and, yes, group and individual, in person and virtual.
Okay. So what advantages do you see coming from helping these individuals and families deal with their emotional luggage, as you were saying, and building more interpersonal skills?
They're able to heal. Changing from the NTL, which is that negative talking language, to the
mm-hmm.
PTL, the positive talking language, able to be able to create boundaries. The communication is increased. That
mm-hmm.
self-love, where they're able to love on themselves. There has been times where we would do the affirmations, I am beautiful, I am great. And sometimes
mm-hmm.
parents don't even feel worth saying I am beautiful, worth
mm.
saying I am great. And
mm-hmm.
we do this activity, I am lovable and capable. And it's like, what are some things that people have said great about you? And sometimes there's not a long list, but when
mm-hmm.
they begin to say the things that people have said negative about them, there's a bigger list. So being able to crush those things down and replace it with positive language, being able to see them having a peace of mind where it may have been chaotic before, but now they have a peace of mind. They're able to talk to one another. They're able to
mm-hmm.
hear one another. Everybody is valued. And even students that may have been struggling in their academics, their grades are in.
Mm. Yeah, I think this is awesome. Like I said, this is a time when we definitely needing some interpersonal communication skills, you know, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in the schools.
I'm unable to hear you.
Or as an individual. So any of those things are, any of those scenarios are very important to have individuals that
Hello?
Can have communication. So the next thing I wanted to ask was how, yes, are you here? Okay, the next thing I was going to ask is, have you had any upcoming opportunities or projects that you're working on?
We just ended a challenge, and I will be doing another challenge soon, still working on getting everything together, so I'll make sure to have that on the website. Was asked to do a project on communication for an organization, so that's coming up. So we're just still in the process of some things.
Now, what kind of challenge is that? You said a challenge.
Yes, a challenge on parents. It was I Choose Me, God's Way. And as I had mentioned before, a lot of times we choose everything else, but we're not choosing ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe bringing that challenge back, but also doing a challenge for parents and families to be able to just be able to love on one another and have those tools in a safe space.
Okay. Okay. Well, that sounds great. Like I said, anything that has to do with communication in the school, whether schools or families, is definitely a priority in these days and times. So I just love the thing that you're doing, because mental health, we talk about all aspects of health, and mental health is one of the parts, and It has to do with, you know, families and how we interrelate in our communities and within our families. So
yes.
Tell our listeners how they can reach you, Lika.
Speaking to the heart of the hurting.com.
Mm-hmm.
So that's speakingtotheheartofthurting.com or speaking to the heart of the hurting at gmail.com. Please reach out to me and you could get a 15-minute discovery call. Looking forward to it.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's great. You know, there's a, I wanted to tell you also, there's a organization that's doing similar things that you're doing. And I just, like I said, I applaud you to, you know, for the interpersonal communication part to it, because in business and as we have more entrepreneurs that are having businesses or coming from corporate world to being entrepreneurs or solopreneurs, we have to know how to be able to communicate with each other and network with each other and do it in a positive way. So I can definitely see where this would be an asset to many of the nonprofit organizations, in addition to the schools and even the churches that you're talking to. You said you talk to churches also, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In a church setting, what does that look like?
Motivation. I provide motivational speaking as well. So just encouragement, similar to the group setting, the circles, and just allowing people to heal. Because in a church setting, a lot of times we see the church, we see God, but we don't know. Sometimes there's some inner stuff that's going on. Sometimes people are going into the church, but when they go inside their cars, they're not talking to each other. When they're going home, they're not talking to each other. So being able to create that space for them to be able to talk and to be able to hear. And also, you know, whatever theme it is, because we also do customized things, whatever it is they would like, you know, us to be able to discuss with that congregation, you know, but just encouragement, that hope, that healing. A lot of times we can go through things and we think we have to stay there. We went today to visit a loved one that's incarcerated, and I'm just grateful because everything that I'm talking to you today about, it's life. We go through it in our families, but the thing is we have to be able to go through it and be able to communicate. And one of the things they talked about is anger. And a lot of times in churches, people have anger, people have unforgiveness. But it's not just in the church. It's all across the world, whether a person is in a church or not. But it's things that we have to deal with. We have to deal with the unforgiveness. We have to deal with acknowledging what's going on. A lot of times, you know, it's church, church, church. I grew up, all it was church, 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 church. But then I rebelled because of wanting to be grown. You know what I'm saying? But it comes to that point where you get tired of being sick and tired. So being able to take my experiences and go to the churches and even letting people know I understand, not saying I understand everything, but letting people know that they're not alone. So it may be a church that needs someone to come in and just talk to their congregation, talk to the, you know, the youth. You know, it may just be a youth group. It may just be, you know, the adults, the parents, however, whether it's just individuals or the leaders, you know, because like I said, a lot of times we bleed and we bleed on a congregation. We're bleeding on, you know, in the workplace. We're bleeding on the community centers. We're bleeding because we're not healed, but we want things to change. So it's just being able to pour and give those tools and strategies to be their best self.
Wow. That's good stuff. Well, thank you so much, Lika, for being one of our leading ladies on our show today. I appreciate you being here, and I've got some valuable tips here. And anyone that wants to connect with Lika, make sure that you connect with her and ask for today. This is our show. So I'd like to say again, thank you, And also, thank you to all our special listeners, both in the U.S. and internationally, as we are an international show. After our show today, you can listen to Women Lead Radio anywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts, specifically Apple, iTunes, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, to name a few. We are expanding quickly to a daily show and podcast. So for now, we'll be back for another live Women Lead Radio show on Mondays at 9 a.m. Pacific Time and Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time. It has been my sincere pleasure to be your host today. Remember, your greatest wealth is your health. Thank you for listening, and have a great day.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.